1 Corinthians chapter 1. We appreciate everybody making the effort to be here. I want to read verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We were talking with Norman earlier, and it is fascinating to me how the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They can't get over it. It's that simple. They can't get over the simple truth. They think that Christianity is so much a part of what they're doing, they don't get it. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, people want to have power, preach the cross. Say to who? To your co-workers, to everybody. The more I preach Christ, the more bolder I get. Why? Because you start to realize, ain't nobody got it. You haven't got it. The power is the cross, not you. It's the cross. All you have to do is mention it. You know, Peter would have been closer to the cross. I mean, I think about it. When you go and you got the cross here, you know, Peter spent this year, saw the cross, spent that time. Paul is probably around. It's not even obvious where he is. He's in Jerusalem somewhere. But it's not until Acts chapter 9 he gets saved. But the one that understood the most about the cross was Paul. Peter didn't see it all in the cross. He saw the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Did Peter know that Christ had died for sins?
No.
Yes, he did.
Peter knew that?
Yeah. Go to 1 Peter. Well, that's true too.
I thought that was Peter's whole focus was Jews, Jews, Jews.
Well, it is. It is. Stuck in between here. I can't get it to turn. And I turn my pages all the time, so I don't know why they're stuck together. Go to 1 Peter. Let me find the verse here. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through the sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace unto you and peace be multitude. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the dead. Notice the shedding of the blood in verse 2. The resurrection of the dead in verse 3, and their inheritance mentioned. See, Peter knew that Christ was the Lamb of God. Go to John chapter 1. Watch this. Go to John chapter 1. Verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saying, Behold the Lamb of God, which what? Taketh away the sin of the world. Do you see that? See, all of that is very, very important to understand. Why? Peter, hang on, I wanted to get one more verse from Peter if I can't find it. Give me just a second here. I can't find it right now. But Peter knew. The difference in what Peter and Paul really believed was that Peter believed his atonement was when? Second coming. But we have now received. The atonement. That's the difference. Y'all understand? Did he believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood? Yes, he did. Talks about blood all through 1st and 2nd Peter. He believed in the shed blood, but he did not believe his sins were forgiven at that time. Y'all understand? Did he believe that they were offered for sin? Yes. Yes, he did. Why? Well, the whole idea, go to Romans chapter 5. Verse 10. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You got that? When did we receive the atonement? Now. By the moment you're saved, you have the atonement. Oh, verse 11. What did I tell you? Verse 11. Let's try it again. I'm sorry, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now, and I would underline the word now, received the atonement. Their atonement is not until the second coming. Y'all understand? Therefore, they don't have eternal security. Why? Life from the class. Why?
Because they could still lose it.
They could still lose it because they haven't got the what?
Atonement.
Okay? They don't get it until then. Ananias and Sapphira, baptized. Jesus Christ shed his blood for them, right? I mean, ultimately, the blood died for, was passed for how many? How many sins did he pay for? And the all in the context isn't who's alive now, but it's all as in everyone in the Bible. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews says, there is no remission of sins. So Jesus Christ had to shed his blood in order for there to be remission. That is not the question here. The question is when are you forgiven and have received the atonement? You all understand? Bronx, are you with me?
Does that mean, okay, so our sins are forgiven now?
Yes.
They didn't think that theirs
would be forgiven until the second coming. Go to Acts chapter 3. Look at Peter's attitude. I'll give you a couple passages. That's a really good... Y'all understand what I'm saying? What? She said that our sins are forgiven, right? But theirs are not, basically. Kind of
until the second
coming.
Huh? Is that true?
That's true. So she asked, when would their sins be forgiven? And that's a very important part of all this. Look in Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to take you to two passages. Verse 19, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Why is the maybe there? He had already died, right? So why the maybe? They have to endure. Not everybody's going to make it. They have to sell out. They have to do some things to get to that atonement that you don't have to do. Do y'all understand? there are things that Israel is going to have to do in order to get that atonement. Does that make sense? What do they have to do? They have to repent, be baptized in water, sell out, keep the commandments, endure unto the end, and on and on. You all got it? Those are things that what Peter's doing and what Jesus is doing is helping Israel get to that atonement. They cannot get to the atonement without that. Example, Ananias and Sapphira. Did they make it to the atonement?
No.
Repent ye therefore, look at it again, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I would write in my Bible, if I was quite a Bible student, Zechariah 13 verse 1 and Zechariah 14 4. And ready for this? Romans chapter 11 verse 25. Through 27. Romans 11. Which one did you miss?
I got
it. You got them?
Yeah, good.
So, you understand that Peter is telling these guys how to get to the atonement. Without the atonement, guess what? They don't get in. You got, the key to getting in is what? Atonement. And they've got to endure unto the end and be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2. Man, listen, let me tell you what. Christ may have died for their sins, but they got to do an awful lot to get it. Y'all understand? Ain't nobody today would make that. Now, go to Romans 11. And here's really the issue, I think, in the whole process. Now, Romans is a very transitional book. It's leaving the Jews and Jew first and Gentile idea, and they're leaving that. After this book, basically, it's just a Gentile church. So there's a lot of things happening here. But listen how he deals with this issue of what we're talking about. See, it's the preaching of the cross. Paul preached the cross as an atoning thing. Peter preached the cross as a sacrificial thing. What? Okay, let me give you a hint. On the calendar, the first day, the 14th day, is the day of what?
Passover.
But it's not until the 7th month, the 14th day, which is the Day of Atonement. Offering here, forgiveness there. Y'all understand? Period of time, stretch in. Offering here, forgiveness here. You got it? Same deal. Y'all understand? Same deal. But that's not true of us. When are we forgiven?
Now.
Present tense. Now. And that differs the atonement and the forgiveness of what we had. So could Peter and Paul fellowship together? Yeah. They just believed it was going to be two different times for two different reasons. But look in Romans 11 verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit or conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be what? Well, here's the fullness of the Gentiles, the catching out of the church. That's the fullness of the Gentiles. So I would put 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, and 1 Corinthians 15, 50 and 51, right there. The fullness of the Gentiles be come in. 4, verse 16 and 17, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 and 51. And so all Israel shall be saved. What would I have there? Zechariah 13, verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. A future date. And Israel is going to be saved. When? At the second coming of the Lord. How does he say it in Acts 3:19? Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He's going to come back. Remember Acts chapter 1. The guys are staying. Why are you men gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which was taken from you will come in like manner. Well, where are they coming? Back to the earth, right? Jesus Christ is coming to the earth. And he's going to cleave a mountain to the east and to the west, right? Y'all with me? His feet are going to touch. He said in Acts chapter 1, why you meant that he's going to come in exactly the same manner that he left. He's physically coming to the earth. But hold it, we're going to meet the Lord where? In the air. We're not waiting for him to presently be here to be forgiven. You're forgiven now. You're just waiting for the moment of your hope. Look at it again, verse 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit or conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And that is Zechariah 13, verse 1. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sin. Well, is their sin taken away? It was paid for, right? Where was it paid for? At the cross. When is their sin going to be taken away? Over here, the second coming. You got it? Peter believed that Christ died for sins. But he doesn't believe sin is gone until the second coming at that fount. Just like the day of Passover, and 7 months later, the day of atonement. You got it? But that isn't true of you. There is a mystery. Christ died for your sins. You have now received the atonement. Took the N out since there's no N in there. Atonement. At-one-ment. You have now received it. So if you've received it, why do you think Israel's going to feel when they go through that fount? They're going to wonder that their sins are paid for? What do you think they're going to think, guys? You think they're going to go, well, I need to confess my sins now? What are they going to think once they've gone through that atonement? They're forgiven. You think they're going to sit down and start confessing their sins again? No, they're not. Well, why would people that have the atonement now be doing that? You see, they don't believe they have the atonement. The reason they're asking for forgiveness on a daily basis and a nightly basis when they go to sleep is they don't really believe they have the atonement. But the preaching, yes. Say that again. Basically. Absolutely. It's like there's no holy days. It just happened. But for Israel, it's like it's stretched out. Just like their sacrifices were. Just like all that. And but did they know that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God? He was proclaimed that. Peter didn't really even understand that until after the cross. Y'all understand? He was in the dark. I mean, Jesus had to walk on the road of Emmaus explaining some things. He said, didn't our hearts burn inside of us? Yeah, it should have. You know, I mean, the realization is, but why would, and the point that I want to make of the sermon this morning is, why would people confess their sins or ask for forgiveness if they've already received the atonement? They're lost. They're ignorant. I mean, you all understand that once you receive the atonement, you know you're in. When Israel makes it, if they have endured unto the end and they've been obedient to all that they said, they're going to hit that atonement. They're not going to think, well, I'm going to die and go to hell now. You know why? They've got the atonement. But hold it. That was the preaching of the cross that Paul talked about. What is the difference between what Peter preached and Paul? Paul preached the finished work of Calvary. Right there, it was all done. You're not having to go anywhere or confess anything or do any. Why? It's done. It's done. Put a fork in it. It's done. You're not enduring unto the end. All of those things are predicated. Thank you. Predicated on the fact that they believed it wasn't until the second coming that they were going to be forgiven. All of it. So if you have now received the atonement, that's why he says what he does in Romans 6. Hold on to Romans. We're coming back in Romans 11. But go to Romans 6 for just a minute. Guys, you know, verse 1. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? Well, how did we get dead to sin? We died with Christ. Not only did you die, you were what? Buried with Him. Look at it. Knowing that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into His death, therefore we are buried with... Buried. Just threw it out there. Buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in what? Why? We're a new creature. We've got the atonement. We're not the same old people. We've got it. Walk in newness of life. It's as if Israel, when they come through this fount, when they come out on the other side, what do you think they're going to walk like? They're going to walk in newness of life, aren't they? But the difference is you got that newness of life the moment you trusted Christ. It was there all the time, you just didn't know it. Soon as you received it, soon as you say, I believe, God atoned you. Therefore making nothing... Hey, listen... There isn't anything more necessary for your salvation anymore. That's exciting. And people don't understand that. People say, well, why do you talk about salvation at different angles and talk about it in the way that you do? It is because you're going to be out there talking to people and witnessing to them. And everything you can see about that cross is vital. Y'all understand? Because people are going to ask you questions. Well, why did it say endure unto the end? Matthew 24:13. What are you going to say? Well, that's really easy because Israel hasn't gotten their atonement yet. They're having to work for their salvation. But how about you? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is gift of God, not of... Why? You've already received the atonement. You've already got the atonement. It isn't like you're hunting down an atonement. You've got the atonement. It's yours. If you're saved, you've got the atonement. You better get up, Charlie Bug. Your sister's here. You like that, didn't you? This is how strange it is. I knew Brooke when she was just a little bit, not much older than Charlie Bug. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Yikes! I don't want to say I'm getting old, but that's strange to me. That was the other thing at the conference. All the kids, my kids' age, had kids. I mean, lots of them. They were like little grace believers running around. I'm like, where did they come from? They're coming out of the woods. It was kind of funny. All right, where was I? Romans 6. Let me come on down for just a little bit further. In Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Well, when did he get crucified? At the cross. You're not dying daily. It was done at the cross. That the body of sin might be destroyed. And by the way, what is the body of sin? It's all of it. From one end, he didn't just take on your sin, bless. He took on everybody's sin. Everybody's. Abraham's, mine, person not even born yet. And you know what? He died for that once. And the only difference really is, when do you receive the atonement? You were going to say something, Norm? Oh, okay. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Well, come on, did you die? Yes. Yes, you did. Then are you freed from sin? Yes. So why do people that are dead act like they still have sin? They don't get the whole process. Listen, once you come through that fountain, our fountain flowed where? At the cross. Israel's fountain is going to flow where? Second coming. It's all about the atonement. Once you've got the atonement, your sins have been paid for. It's a clear bill of health. It'd be like this. Like you were found out that you had the AIDS virus. And from some miracle way, you were given a clean bill of health and didn't have it anymore. That'd be miraculous. That's what it's like. You've got this sin, but Jesus Christ took all that sin and paid for it at the cross. For everybody. And gave you, in a sense, that atonement as a bill of good health. You didn't deserve it. There's nothing you can... Even Israel, did they deserve it? No, man, they were apostate. They were as rebellious as we are. But the whole point that I want you to see is there is some commonality between Peter's belief and Paul's. But Peter didn't preach the atonement like Paul preached the atonement. Peter saw it in a future event. Every aspect. In fact, go back to 1 Peter. God, I forgot, didn't you? Are you yawning again? Brother, I thought you'd get used to that as short as you've been. Yeah, you do look taller. That was the joke, is all the preachers wore ties so they could look taller. Yeah, you should have been there, I guess. That's where, Brooke, the rapture hadn't happened. Everybody's at the Bible conference. Look in 1 Peter. I'm still in 2 Peter, I'm sorry. Go to 1 Peter. chapter 1. Seven. The verse I'm going to get to is 10. That the trial of your faith, notice the trial of your faith, that's the tribulation, being much more than, precious than of gold that perishes, though it may be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and the honor and glory when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. I would put Acts chapter 1, verse 6 there. I believe it's verse 6. You'll get it if you'll put Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It's real close. Maybe 5 or 6. Where he says, why do you men stand gazing up? He's going to come in the like manner, right? And I'd put Zechariah 14:4 there. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. Well, when does our faith start? It's at the start of our faith, not the end of our faith. Ours is at the start. Notice these little terms. Even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Are we waiting for the grace to come unto us? Man, grace is poured out on us. It isn't a matter of whether you've got it. You got it. You know, look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up your loins and your mind, be sober, for the hope to the end, for the grace is to be brought unto you at the revelation of the second coming. Peter thought his sins and the people's sins were going to be all forgiven at the second coming. Believe that Jesus Christ died once he got that message, you know. That did take a little time after the cross for Jesus to convince him. But once he got that, he knew that it was at the second coming that he was going to get. When Paul preached that you could now receive the atonement, in fact, go to Acts chapter 13, his very first time preaching the gospel of Christ. This verse in 38 and 39 kind of bears out this. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You see that? And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You could have forgiveness of sins and be justified from all things. You know what that requires? Atonement. You've got the atonement now. You're not waiting for forgiveness. You're not working for forgiveness. You're not behaving yourself for forgiveness. You've got it because it's the gift of God. Amen? This whole thing with Peter and all of what we're looking for is when did they believe? Well, Peter didn't believe it was forgiven until the end. So what happens if you didn't endure? You didn't get it. What happens if you sold out and kept back part of the price? You didn't get it. If you got baptized, yet didn't keep the commandments. I mean, that's, look in Hebrews. Hebrews 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto what? It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. So do they have it? These people don't have it. That's why there's no eternal security. But if you've got the atonement, guess what? You've got eternal security. Go to Romans chapter 8, and that's where we'll end this morning. See, where the atonement, the preaching of the cross, includes the death, burial, and resurrection that Peter preached. But it also preached that Christ died for your sins, as in an atoning fact now. Not as he's offered his blood and you'll be atoned for later, like Peter believed. Y'all understand? Peter believed that it wasn't until the second coming that he was forgiven. But we believe it's now done, and that's why Romans chapter 5 says we have now received the atonement. Absolutely. 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 Romans 8. And I'm just going to start in. Well, I'm going to start in 28, but the verses I really want are down in 38 and 39. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinated, them He also what? Called. And whom He called, them He also what? Justified. And whom He justified, them He also going to glorify? Already glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distresses, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now watch. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? You've already got the atonement. You've already got it. You know what Christians ought to do if they got it? Relax. Just relax. Why are they working so hard? Because they don't believe they got it yet. And that's why the rededications and the walking the aisle and trying to confess your sins, and all that they try to do is to get that burden off their back. But Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Why? You got the atonement. Man, when I found out my sins were gone, I had some zingers. I'm not like Brooke, but I had some zingers. I'm playing with her. You all understand? I had zinger sins. I had some that would absolutely freak you out. And I'm glad the only one that needs to know about it is the Lord, aren't you? You know what? He's already forgiven me. I'm not trying to obtain some way of forgiveness. He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me at Calvary's cross. And I have now received the atonement. Wow. Peter, all those people, hanging in. Holding on. If they've tasted the heavenly gift, if they ever fall away, it's impossible to get them back. But not for you. You could fall away and come back, fall away and come back. And God doesn't look at you any different than He looks at you the moment you trusted Christ.